that's it for the Wolfman for another groovy, groovy night, which has been really a pleasure keeping you company along the highway and the byways, man.
When I left San Antonio, it was a big five-lane highway. That soon went down to three. Then at the halfway point, the road goes down to one lane, very badly. It's getting hotter. It's close to 90 degrees now. I've seen armadillos, skunks, and vultures circling.
We got lots more for you here on the Big XCRB for all of our Spanish-speaking friends. Señor Carlos Caramaggio, real funny-looking cat.
It's 150 hot miles from San Antonio to Del Rio in the Mexican border. This is the world of Coen Brothers' film noir, Cowboys, Tumbleweed and Roadkill. It's also the cradle of border radio and radio station XERF, which is based in Ciudad Acuña, Mexico, across the Rio Grande from Del Rio, Texas. XERF, the most powerful of all the radio stations on the border. This station would become synonymous with that extraordinary radio personality that was Wolfman Jack. Immortalized in George Lucas's film American Graffiti in 1969, Wolfman was the most outlandish, the most scandalizing, the most elliptical disc jockey of his era.
Ah, oh, yes, baby, you leave me breathless, Jerry Lee Lewis, with Wolfman Jack. Here's Ricky Nelson.
It was like this hilarious character who came from the station that was marked with the letter X and who had kind of come in and come out. And they didn't know where he was, they didn't know who he was, and they didn't know what he was.
And you didn't know what he was going to say, you didn't know what path he was going to go down, and it was always a little bit racy.
He was into the passion of the art form of doing radio.
Was he knocking back whiskey in the studios? Was he shooting off guns when he was playing records? You just had no idea, but you knew whatever he was doing, it was probably wrong.
But really, to appreciate who the Wolfman was, you have to understand that he was a product of decades of radio renegades, crooks, and zealots who broadcast from the Mexican border in the 1930s and 40s. Bill Crawford is the author of Border Radio.
Thinking about Mexico at this time in the 30s up until really the 1990s, the border, La Frontera, was really very sparsely populated on the Mexican side. Very few people lived in Mexico at that time. So these stations that were high-powered stations, even as far down south as Monterrey but aimed up towards the north, they didn't really have much listenership in terms of the Mexican audience. These stations were a tool that the Mexicans used in ongoing negotiations with the U.S. for allocation of international high-frequency radio signals.
The Mexican stations were known as border blasters because they transmitted at huge power, which meant the signal traveled a long way, particularly at night. In an international agreement that heavily favored the United States, Mexico came away with a small slice of the available wavelengths. Bitter about this, they wound up their northern neighbors by broadcasting an array of anarchic and often provocative programs, which, climatic conditions permitting, could be heard all over the United States. What does it cost to get across?
Buenas. Un recibo, por favor.
And howdy-do, friends and neighbors. Bill Garrett speaking to you and inviting you to stay with us for the next quarter.
Back in the 1930s, border radio was all about God, money, sex, and, of course, music. The audience was rural, poor, and hopelessly vulnerable to the persuasion of exotic voices shooting through the ether.
Hi.
Joe Nick Potoski, a liberal Texan, there are such, lives with wife and son about 20 miles outside Austin, up on a hill, with a creek he told me he'd bathed in shortly before I arrived.
This was a period when radio is just, it's a new phenomenon, it's reaching the masses, and it has great appeal. It was literally the electronic campfire. It was storytelling. It was talking to people like you're all part of an extended family. So there was a lot of this friends and neighbor.
Thank you a lot, Bill Garrett, and howdy, everybody. We're just awful happy to be here once again in the studios of XERF 915.
Probably the most powerful way that it's used is that all these bands are playing live on the radio. They need content, as we call it today. It was a great way of exposing yourself.
Hope you're all feeling fine tonight. We've got a lot of playing and singing for you. And Bill, don't you run off either, old boy.
And it was this huge potential for exposure which made border radio the breeding ground for those who'd go on to become televangelists.
And he shall see, even I shall smite you in your head, I shall smite you with insanity.
Brilliantly manipulative preachers who could literally breathe the fear of God into their listeners' hearts.
The preachers on border radio were wonderful showmen. They were phenomenal audio artists. This was their only outlet for decades. I think my favorite is Reverend Sam Morris, the voice of temperance, who preached against the ravages of rum. Wine is a mocker.
Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. She came in one night so drunk she didn't know what she was doing and started to take a bath in the bathtub with her clothes on. In utter disgust, her husband said, I ought to take a gun and blow your brains out.
But they were all showmen, and they all had different styles of delivery.
Some would get into the microphone and say that they'd talk to God face to face.
And others would be back there saying, you gotta buy this prayer cloth.
And that's what made them so fascinating to listen to.
Then there were the psychics, known as the mentalists.
These are remarkable letters, and I know that you'll have to agree with me that the miracle power, while it's a book...
They promised you the key to better knowledge and happiness, if you sent in a little money, of course.
Well, friends, if you're not happy, if something's keeping you from happiness and success and contentment of mind, send for your copy of the miracle power and do it at once.
To reminiscing, I always get to missing those sweet money-making days of long ago. When I got my things in order, when I landed on the border, to sing and yodel on the radio.
But beyond the schizophrenic array of entertainment on border radio, the driving force, the thrust of the whole thing, was money, advertising.
Friends, will you please give me your serious attention? Because I'm going to tell you something that may change your entire life. So please, listen carefully.
There are few originals left now who still have that easy, slick tongue and fierce loyalty to border radio. But Dallas Turner, yodeler and cowboy, is one.
The biggest sellers, Nick, the biggest sellers you will always find were health, sex, and religion. We sold aphrodisiacs, erection enhancers, feminine hygiene equipment with free enema attachments.
Did they work?
Yes. Everything was guaranteed to work or you got your money back. We had the Swiss Weather House. We sold that.
You know, buying genuine simulated diamonds for $3.95. You know, buy your wife this beautiful gemstone. You know, people didn't know what simulated meant.
The best way to give the system the water it needs is to keep a glass handy, constantly sipping.
My favorite sales pitch was for crazy water crystals. A well was discovered, and an insane woman who drank from it regained her senses. The water was named Crazy Water.
And the gentleman who ran the Crazy Water franchise came up with a product which I think is one of the more brilliant products ever invented, which is Crazy Water Crystals.
And that's the way to drink Crazy Water. Drink it between meals, before retiring at night. And
now think about it for a moment. They're crystals. You add water to them when you guy them. It's dehydrated water. The man is selling dehydrated water. All you do is add water. Brilliant! I mean, you can't get a better product than that.
Driving through a town called Hondo, Texas. Sign says, this is God's country. Please don't drive through it like hell. This road is extraordinary. Hardly a bend in it. And every now and again, we had hoped to see, you know, a motorway stop. A cup of coffee will go down well. If you want a taxidermist, there's plenty of those. If you want to buy a trailer, lots of those too. Can't get a cup of coffee anyway.
So, friends, we come to the close of another program with the strains of that comforting and reassuring old hymn ringing in our ears. This is Governor W. Leo Daniel of Texas speaking. Goodbye.
W. Leo Daniel is an important link in the Wolfman Jack story. Like Papi O'Daniel, Wolfman knew that if you really wanted that audience, they had to love you. Where other pitchmen sold by threatening, selling irresistible tat, or promising sexual advantage, Papi just made sure they loved him. He took to the Border Blasters to sell flour. He formed a band and called them the Light Crust Doughboys. They became Texas superstars, and their music is kept alive today by the band Asleep at the Wheel. Singer Ray Benson was appearing in San Antonio as I made my way south.
It's Nick!
Hey!
Nick Bearclaw!
Well, good to see you.
Look what the cat dragged in. The Bearclaw.
The Bearclaw.
At 12 noon in the 30s, they would all gather around to listen to Papi O'Daniels, you know. He would preach to them sort of like a preacher almost and say, for the safety of your family and the health of your people, use the finest flour there is. You know, don't get that crap. Get the good stuff, you know. Listen to everybody from near and far if you want to know who we are. We're the Light Crust Doughboys from the Burris Mill. And that was their theme song. Now, of course, you remember, every woman baked back then. I don't know, you know, that's how you got bread. You didn't go to the store and buy bread. So flour was huge, you know. And so you take the combination of commerce and media and politics, and that's what was happening.
One day O'Daniel made a surprise announcement to his radio audience. He said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm considering running for governor of the great state of Texas. Now you write in and tell me what you think. Should I run or should I not? And he claimed that more than 44,000 people wrote in and said, go for it, Pappy. But that 3 wrote in and said, you're just too good for the job. Don't do it. So O'Daniel ran for governor in 1938, but he ran and he won in a landslide.
I like my music, good old mountain music, played by the
Rio. XERS Villacuña, Coahuila, in La República Mexicana.
That means you're listening to XERF Villacuña, Coahuila, in the Republic of Mexico.
Steve Stack on the Wolf Band Tax Show. And right now, I want you to feel, when in your life will you find a time to equal this hour, this day, that will live in our mind's eye forever? Here's the teddy bears.
There were many other characters who haunted the airwaves of station XERF over the next decade, not least Dr. J.R. Brinkley, the man who pioneered an operation to insert goat hormones into the male scrotum to improve male virility. And no, it didn't work.
You're holding back, many of you, right now, listening to me on these morning and evening broadcasts. And you know you're sick. Well, why do you hold back? Why do you twist around the old Kupferberg? Come at once to the Brinkley Hospitals, Little Rock, Arkansas, before it's everlastingly too late.
The popularity of the station and the cash it brought in put the spotlight on the tiny town of Del Rio, Texas. Then, in the mid-1950s, a clever young lawyer called Arturo Gonzalez took over the station and moved it into the Chihuahuan Desert. Arturo was the man who would later give Wolfman Jack his first slot on XERF. He's 99 now. I met him on the veranda of his grand offices in Del Rio.
We bought a 250,000-watt transmitter. The Mexican corporation did.
And it cost $250,000.
I think I don't know how much they agreed to pay, but I remember it was a substantial sum. I think at the radio station XERF, Del Rio got on the map through precisely the radio station XERF. And through Wolfman Jack and other announcers that we had on the station that were just absolutely fantastic to me. Yeah, what they were selling, it is just beyond me how they could sell it.
When you go down to the former site of XERF now, all there is a supermarket car park. But back in the late 1950s, after Arturo Gonzalez got his hands on it, it was a series of low single-story stucco buildings tethered to their towering transmitter. Mario Alfaro was chief engineer of the station for many years and a close friend of Wolfman Jack's.
It was the most powerful radio station in the world. And with all that power, it was an omnidirectional antenna. You could hear in Australia, in Germany. And in fact, now that I'm an older person, I meet a lot of person that tell me, hey, I used to hear you when I was in Germany. I used to hear you when I was in all over Europe.
This is the world's most powerful broadcasting station, XALIA, the Akunda Kovila.
Ungoverned, unrestricted, and left to its own money-making devices, XERF was wild and it was dangerous. You literally put your life at risk by going anywhere near it.
The most power you could have on an AM station was 50,000 watts, and the border stations were five times the power. And there's this thing called the skip, as you know, when the signal hit the ionosphere at night, it would be like a, kind of like a pool table. It would just skip and go all over the place.
And during periods of high humidity, the components around the base of this antenna tower would arc, so you'd have fire flying and actually talking to you. You could hear the voice of the disc jockey in this corona, as it is called. It's a discharge from the antenna. It's a very interesting phenomenon to see lightning flying from your antenna and talking to you.
Nothing grew around the station, because the wires that went out actually shed electricity, so no grass or trees would grow under these electric things, you know.
The tube that ran the cables up to the transmitter, you could take a neon bulb, put it in front of it, and it would light it up. Yes. You would come up, drive your car up, and park in front of this thing, turn your lights off in the car, the lights would stay on. That's how powerful this thing was. I mean, birds would circle around this thing and drop dead. It was just amazing.
Lonnie Napier. Now, Lonnie is a man who's lived the lawlessness of the border and border radio all his life. But the big thing about Lonnie is that he's the man who became manager to the most thrilling DJ possibly of his century. He recalled meeting Wolfman Jack for the first time.
And I walk in and just blown away, man, by this radio station. You know, I'd taken the city bus in Los Angeles to this place. It looked like a Mexican bordello in there, you know. But when he came in, I knew that he'd come in because I could smell his cologne all the way up the stairs. Just bigger than life. Beetle boots, a pompadour that just, you know, never stopped. Jet black. This beard, you know, this goatee. And to me, he was better looking than Elvis, you know, just bigger than life. And I was like, oh, my God.
This ride, Mama Dee Sharp on the Wolfman Jack Show. Right now, we going back a ways. And I know when things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile, but you have to sigh.
Estrellita de Lejano.
Wolfman Jack, of course, didn't start life with that name. He was born Bob Smith, really. And he grew up in the tough New York neighborhood of Brooklyn. Neglected by his parents, he sought succor and inspiration from the voices he heard on the radio at night, beaming up from the Mexican border.
One of the stations he really liked to listen to as a kid was XERF, which would come into Brooklyn occasionally when the skywave skip was just correct. He'd hear the country music and he'd hear the preachers. He loved listening to Paul Callinger down in Del Rio, Texas, giving his coast to coast and border to border, from down alongside the silvery Rio Grande River, where the summer spends the winter. This is your good friend along the way, Paul.
From coast to coast, border to border, from down alongside the beautiful silvery Rio Grande River, where the sun shines.
He moved down to Alexandria, Virginia, and he went to the National Academy of Broadcasting. And he graduated, and he got a job at WYOU in Newport News, Virginia. And his first personality was Daddy Jules, getting down with the kids every evening. And the records he spun, Sarah Vaughan, Jimmy McGriff, Eddie Lockjaw Davis, and Jimmy Smith.
But Newport News wasn't going to do it for him. He kept tuning back to XERF and decided to move closer to the border, to Louisiana in 1961, and took a job on a tiny country station where he experimented with a new persona.
He took his name from a popular brand of overalls, and the overalls were called Big Smith, fortunately, and he was Bob Smith. So he hit the air as Big Smith with the records. And
What a great name.
Big Smith. Big Smith with the records, and he would do things like he'd introduce you to friends. We're going to give you a song now by Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs. And by the way, I first want to remind you that Kathy's Meat Market has pig ears for 29 cents a pound. You got to stop by there today.
But there was only ever one place where Bob Smith wanted to be. He wanted to feel the megawatts of station XERF coursing through him. He'd made a decent amount of cash DJing and selling airtime, so he jumped into his lipstick-red 54 Ford convertible and headed for the border.
He said, I have got to go see this radio station. It's got to be like the city of Oz, you know, like you're coming over the hill and you see this giant in a cloud type thing. That was in his whole image.
Haven't been to Del Rio for a long, long time. When I came last time, somebody would row you across the Rio Grande in a boat for a couple of dollars. Now, there's none of that, none of this informal crossing. Everybody goes over the bridge because it's a major entry point for Mexican immigrants.
He hopped in this car, took a bunch of cash from the radio station, emptied out like some bank accounts and put it in the trunk of the car, and went down to Del Rio and said, and saw what was going on down there, and said, I'm the big kahuna, I'm going to take care of business. And he started giving everybody, I mean, you know, you give somebody a $10 bill or a $20 bill or a $5 bill. They were happy back then.
He had the cash, a bag of records, and a huge ego. And that was all he needed to get through the doors of XERF. The Mexicans were a bit suspicious, but they liked his money. Chief Engineer Mario Alfaro was the first person to greet him.
He approached me because I was the only guy that could speak English a little bit better than everybody there. And I could tell the guys what he wanted. He wanted to run his programs. And so what we did, and that's how he got famous in there.
What did you think of him when you first met him?
I didn't believe in him real good. He came to the station trying to get his programs on the air.
Next, he had to convince Arturo Gonzalez down the corridor that he could be a formidable salesman as well.
Wolfman Jack came to my office, wanted to know if he could work for radio station XERF. I said, well, maybe you can. I mean, but can you sell? I said, well, I can sell everything. Well, if you can sell, you'll make some more money for us, and we'll pay you. You'll be working for the radio station at the radio station, but you'll be paid by an Inter-American Radio Advertising Agency.
So he started giving him money, and that night he went on the air, and he had already formulated in his mind the Wolfman Jack character. And that night he went on the air, and the Wolfman was born. That's where XERF, where it was born.
The transmitter went on at 6 o'clock. The air was humming. In towns and cities all across America, people were going about their business expecting to hear the remonstrations of a preacher or a yodeling Dallas Turner. What they got instead was this.
Oh, my goodness, heavens, Pess, I've been boogieing so hard, I worked up such a sweat, man, I had to take my clothes off. You know what I mean? Wolfman Jack with you, and we got Brenda Lee.
I don't know whether it was the mojo of the border, whether it was the stars over the Chihuahuan Desert. Something affected him and allowed him to create this character, which was totally different than Bob Smith. It was a total transformation of his character.
There was nothing as exotic, as mysterious, and as forbidden as when I first stumbled upon Wolfman Jack broadcasting from the border.
I mean, people heard him. They didn't know whether he was black. They didn't know whether he was Mexican. They didn't know whether he was Martian. He was just a totally different character. And his rap was different than anybody had ever heard.
And then this voice was almost scary. I mean, it was really scratchy and nasty and dirty. And it was delicious. You wanted more of it. It was threatening, but you wanted to hear more.
Ah, oh, yes, baby, you leave me breathless, Jerry.
The wolf was born, Like Frankenstein's monster, he was the product of years of researching and refining. He was all those border radio originals rolled into one. The hellfire preacher, the fiendish quack. With a bit of beat poet and a bit of blues, he evangelized in the name of rock and roll. He offered to heal you, and he got your libido raging. He was the greatest preacher border radio had known.
Are you ready to get set, baby? You think we gonna shake rattle and roll? Well, you wrong, cause we gonna throb, stroke, and pulsate. And we gonna do it right here, right now, on the Wolfman.
He is a preacher. He's an intimate preacher. He's a naughty preacher. He's a preacher who says, are you naked? You know, are you listening to me, baby? Are you naked? Tell me about it. What's going on, baby? What's going on? So he was very much a preacher. He was preaching to the church of rock and roll.
This diamond ring, I remember those good tuck and roll days where folks wanted to come in and touch my tuck and roll, you know.
The name, which came from a mix of influences, seemed to arrive with the first show. Bob had been a huge fan of disc jockey Alan Freed. Freed called himself Moondog. Howlin' Wolf was another hero of Bob Smith's. Your name was your steering wheel.
Those were the old DJs that had the names, you know, Moondog, you know, The Hunter, Allen Woo-Woo Ginsberg. Those old-time DJs all had to have some kind of handle to go along with it, you know. You know, it was so creative. It was so entertaining.
When I heard him the first time, I was so entranced that I got out a reel-to-reel recorder and I stuck the microphone up to my little transistor radio and recorded it. And I'd play it for people. And I couldn't understand when they didn't hear what I heard, when they were going, oh, that's interesting. Or they weren't just drawn in, like, you know. Because when you heard him, you got the sense that you had unlocked the key to a really secret world.
All right. I okay, Bosco. I got an audience to love and make love to, you understand? All right, bye.
That's a gas plant.